Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
Well, with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills. Wait, did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Welcome to another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today, we've got a very, very special guest. Some people might consider him a competitor. We certainly don't. We think of him as a sales savant, a cold call killer, and a prospecting pro. We've got the phone jacker with us today, Callum Beecroft. Callum, how are you, sir?
All good. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys?
All good. Jack's got COVID, but I'm wonderful.
Oh, shit. I'm great. It's better to see your face. Better to see the phone jacker's face.
So, one thing, Callum, that I've not been clear on, you're a mysterious man. So, how did you get into sales? Yes. Are you a man who's been doing it for generations, or are you new in the last few years? How did you start in sales?
How did I start? That's a good question. I think I've been in sales for probably 7 years now. So, quite a long time. How I got into it, basically, when I did a university degree, I did it in marketing. And as part of that degree, there was like a year's placement. So you did 2 years, third year was a placement of work, and then come back and do your final year. And when I did that placement year, I luckily managed to land a gig at Microsoft. So I did that for a year, and it was like an account management role in like the advertising side of the business. So I did that, and then they offered me a job when I graduated, and I came back and I fucking hated it. So I was going through this process with my manager, who was really helpful, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? And he started lining up some conversations with other people at the business, right? And I would obviously marketing degree, that was an interest. So I was speaking to some marketing people, like what's the job like, what are the career opportunities, all that kind of stuff. And I was also speaking to some people on the sales side. And I just remember one afternoon, still remember it now, I was sat there in this job. It was like account management, but it was project management. And the buck always stops with project management, right? Because you're the ones that have got to deliver these projects on time and stuff. So it was stressful. I was working a lot of hours. I fucking hated it. And I just remember one afternoon... some of the sales guys that I worked closely with they were walking out the office at like midday and they were going on a client lunch. And I just thought, you know what, that looks fucking easy. Why don't I try and get into sales? And I don't know how long afterwards, but there was basically a sales job came up closely aligned to the business that I was working on. So I knew the product really well, right? And I just went for that job, and for some reason they gave it to me, and that's when it all started, my sales journey. But yeah, back in like 2013, 14, probably 14.
And were you, well, probably... were you a natural?
No, it was fucking rubbish. Fucking rubbish. Yeah, I was useless. Yeah, I basically, it was a bit of a weird job, right? So without going into too much detail, there's like a sales team for the advertising business at Microsoft. So like all the products you'd know, Skype, Office, Xbox, they had like MSN, all this stuff. And you had a core sales team that used to sell advertising space on these products. And they had these specialist roles. And I used to work on Xbox and I got this specialist role for Xbox. So I basically had a revenue target, but I had this core sales team that were basically selling the product for me. And so I didn't really have to manage like proposals and doing the kind of day-to-day stuff that salespeople typically do. I was there, I basically got wheeled out to do presentations and be an evangelist for Xbox, help out with proposals and stuff. And I very rarely closed any of the deals, right? So I had this revenue target, but everyone else was selling for me. And the first 9 months were brilliant. I think I hit 140% or something. But again, it was nothing really down to me, right? I had loads of people selling for me. And then shit hit the fan the next 9 months. I made enough commission from that I just thought, fuck this, I'm going traveling. So I went and did that for 9 months and then came back and got another sales gig. So yeah, I thought this gig was easy when I did those first 9 months. Making all this money, and then yeah, it's been downhill ever since.
Amazing. And so we can fast forward a little bit. As you know, we're all advocates of Mr. Benjamin Dennehy. We've got a photo of him like a messiah framed on our wall. So where did the journey come in there? So you were working in a sales job, and can you talk us through the story? What happened and what motivated you to say, I want to take this a bit seriously?
Yeah. So my last gig when I was employed, before I went self-employed, was still selling kind of advertising, sales, marketing services for online sports books and casinos. And I did that. I thought, yeah, this is exciting. And I think for maybe like the first year I was doing okay, right? Like I've always had a good work ethic. I mentioned this on a video the other day. I've always had a good work ethic. I'm going to blow smoke up my ass, right? But the problem is when you're shit at something, doing more of it is not a good strategy. I was getting somewhere because I was working hard, but I was missing a lot of opportunities on the way and I didn't really realize why, right? And then COVID hit. So we're going back a couple of years, right? And the thing with COVID and sports books specifically is a lot of the live sports events just closed, right? The Premier League being the main one, shut down for 4 or 5 months. All of this live sport shut down. So obviously the sports books were losing revenue and obviously activity on the site went down. So I lost some existing clients for that reason and my pipeline evaporated, right? And yeah, when we went into lockdown, I think there was maybe like a 4 month period where all of this was going on and all of these companies that I was trying to sell to, they were looking inwards, right? Because they had all these issues and they wanted to protect themselves for the future. So it was a case of how could they make money from sports if that was an opportunity, or a lot of them pivoted to online casino, right? Because that wasn't impacted. But the problem was a lot of these betting companies, they didn't really focus on their casinos, so they had to do all of this work on the back end to like get their site up to scratch and competitive, right? So in those 4 months I really struggled. Obviously my revenue was down, I struggled to get in front of prospects, and as a result I wasn't really closing any deals. Like I maybe closed one or two in that 4 month period. So yeah, I was really struggling, and after those 4 months, like it really wore me down. I was burnt out, to be completely honest. And I got to the end of those 4 months and I thought, I've got to be doing something wrong. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I've got to be doing something wrong. So that was when that kind of moment changed, where I was like, right, I need to get some external help here. And yeah, I shopped around, had a little look about, found Benjamin. And I remember watching a couple of his videos. One of them I don't think's up there anymore. He was doing a presentation, and I watched it and I just saw there was something about him, like a glint in his eye or something. There was something there. I was like, this guy's got something and I don't know what it is, but I want it. So then I reached out to him. We had a conversation. I went on his boot camp, which was a cold calling boot camp. I'd never done cold calling before. And I did that and I thought, this isn't enough. So I joined one of his coaching clubs. And then I worked with him for, I think, 9 months, 10 months on his coaching club and tried to put all of this stuff into practice during those 9-10 months. And yeah, that's basically up to the point where Benjamin helped me. And then I was self-employed after that.
Okay. And I guess a good thing is, so I guess, did you see yourself improving dramatically within this job? And then what was the moment where you thought, you know what, fuck this, I can go it alone? Because I know that you and Zach probably shared a very similar experience there.
No, I think Zach's got more balls than I have, to be totally honest. No, first, did I improved a lot. Did I improve a lot? I don't know. I was putting a lot of it into practice, but as you know, the stuff that Benjamin teaches, right, is completely changing your beliefs, your habits, and how you interact in a sales environment, right? And it's a process, not an event, like Benjamin would say. So I invested a lot of time. Fortunately, we had lockdown, right? So I didn't have anything else to do. So I committed to this, and I was learning lots of the theory and putting little bits into practice. But no, to answer your question, I wasn't developing as fast as I wanted to. I think a lot of the reason behind that was obviously there's still a bit of pressure to deliver revenue and results from the company, right? Which I think restricted my freedom to make mistakes and try new things. So I didn't feel like I was developing. So I quit my job without anything lined up. I had a 3-month notice period. And yeah, I just quit my job. I thought, fuck this, I need to do something different. And the plan was to get employed at another company and try and find one that would kind of embrace me and let me try all these new things and have a bit more freedom. And then I had a chat with Benjamin and it was a one-to-one session. And he asked me the question. He said, what's new with you? And I said, I've quit my job. I've got nothing lined up. And he laughed at me. He's like, some of the best news I've heard all week. And I didn't understand what he meant. And then we had a conversation around interview techniques, right? So all the stuff that he teaches, how could I implement that in an interview process, obviously with the end goal of getting a job and being employed again. And he said to me afterwards, he's like, well, look, you know what problem you're going to have? I said, no. He said, well, look, you're going to have a couple of problems. The first one is all the problems that you just mentioned to me, you're probably still going to have these with this new company, right? So I was like, yeah, that's a good point. And he said, you know, the other problem you're going to have, I said, no. He said, look, you're going to be really hard to hire now. And I didn't understand what he meant. He said, well, look, you're going to go into these interviews and in theory, you're going to know a lot more about sales than the hiring manager, the person that's going to hire you, right? And they're not going to like that. They don't want to hire someone who knows more than them. They want someone that's going to step in line and do as they say, right? And I knew the theory, right? Because I've been learning it for months. I lacked real world experience. So he's like, yeah, you're going to have all these problems. You've only got one option. You're going to have to go out on your own if you want to solve these problems. And I was like, fuck, he's right. And then
he's wise, isn't he?
Yeah. And then he said to me, he just said, look, why don't you do what I did? I just set up a prospective business. You can have the freedom to work with who you want, get multiple clients, work when you want. And why don't you do that? And with that, you'll be able to grow and develop all of the stuff. Because you don't have the freedom, right, to make mistakes and not worry about all of that and develop and grow. And yeah, after that conversation, that was it. It was like, right, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And that's when the phone jacker was born.
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
And then what do you remember what your first client was? Who that was?
Yeah, it was a shit show. Yeah, it was partly my fault and it was partly my client's fault. I had a lot of issues with data. And I probably took on more than I could for the first client. It was a US client, calling in the US, so a new market. It was a mortgage broker, so a new industry. I basically got given a list of thousands of prospects, and every prospect had four numbers, but they bought this data from a really, really bad company. And I can't remember what the percentage was, but I reckon maybe somewhere between 5% and 10% of those numbers were with the actual person. And if you've got US clients, you'll know you can't spot a mobile number easily. They've got the same dialing codes, country or state codes, whatever they call them. So I had office numbers, mobile numbers, home numbers. Some of the conversations were quite funny, but obviously it was very difficult to make any traction. And the other thing was as well that the types of prospects I was speaking to were like... They weren't businesses in a lot of cases. They were basically people who'd invested in real estate, and they were leasing those properties to like your Best Buys, and they've got a pharmacy out there, kind of like Boots. Can't remember what it's called. So it wasn't like I could do any research on these people and get some data myself. We came to the conclusion the client didn't want to sort the data out, and I wasn't enjoying it, so... we parted ways early on, and yeah, that was the first client. I was like, fuck, this isn't as easy as I thought.
I had the same, very, very similar experience where I, there's a lesson in this, isn't there? Because this one is my fault, but I sort of took the client's word for it, that there was this gap in the market for something that he solved, which was in the finance space for house builders. It was like mortgages for house builders, and apparently house builders, to his knowledge, didn't have much money. And would get a mortgage with him and then pay back what the profit was at the end or something like that. And then I'm ringing house builders and they're laughing at me and going, do you know how much money we've got in the bank? Like multi millions. I was like, this is fucking weird. So I rang him back and he said, yeah, all I want to do is take him out for a beer. But it was in lockdown. So I was like, I don't understand, mate. Like, they're not going to want to go for a beer with you. I was like, no one believes in that stuff. And then anyway... within about 4 days, same sort of thing as you. 4 days dialing, I just said, I think we might want to quit while we're ahead. There was like three meetings that I got from that I felt like were pity meetings. And I had the same thought that you had of, is this going to be loads harder than I thought? But the lesson is, make sure you qualify properly. Don't just... It's easy at the start, isn't it, when there's not loads of money in the bank and you know you need that new business and you want to get your name out there to just kind of take anything on. But when you... treat it properly and go through the right process.
Yeah, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So I'm sure you guys have experienced the more clients you bring on, the more lessons you learn, and you can then start to see early on whether this is going to work or not. But sometimes it's like, I don't know if this is going to work until I start speaking to prospects, right? So yeah, there's always that element of risk for sure.
So what about the, on the more positive side, what about the first time you realised that actually this is going to work? What was the, who was the first client that you thought, that's brilliant now?
It's, first this is client. I don't know whether I ever fought it from a client. I always fought it from my own, from myself. So, yeah, before I got my first client, that was the thing, right? The first client didn't work out and I could have done a better job of managing that situation. The client could have done a better job of giving me good data, right? But before that, I basically built, the plan was to get three clients. That was the end goal, but I wanted to get there gradually. I didn't want to take three clients on and be like, fuck, this is stressful and have all these issues. So I basically created three lists of 100 prospects from different industries, and the plan was to get a client from each list eventually. And it didn't take long before I started setting meetings. So I was like, if I could do this for myself, I could do it for anyone. I just got to find the right client, not necessarily the right client, but just manage it better and make sure that everything's set up for success as much as possible, right? So yeah, I was doing that before I got the first client, and I just thought, this doesn't matter. I've done it for myself, so it will work for other clients, right? And then since then, I think I've had maybe 6-7 clients in the last year, I think, about that. Yeah, a few didn't work out for some other reasons, and I've got 2 now that I'm still working with. So, yeah.
Amazing. And we obviously, a lot of sales reps listen to our podcast, and I think we could probably speak about the same problems and challenges and wins that we've both experienced, because we're in a very similar line of work. One of the biggest things that we probably faced in the early days was, and I know especially for Zach, and then I came in and it was something as well, we're not together. You've got to be, and I know you spoke about this, like good work ethic, but you've got to be self-motivated. And on the days where it's not working, it's very easy, if you've not got a boss, or you to say, well, you know what, sack it off, I'll try again tomorrow. And for people that are in sales that might start off cold calling, have a really bad hour and think, you know what, screw this, I'm going to go back on LinkedIn and post a selfie and see if that works and brings me in a couple of clients. What have you done to overcome that in terms of like self-motivation and burning out when it comes to being so much on the phones?
Yeah, really good question. I can't remember. I was speaking about this recently, actually. I can't remember who. I was on another podcast. That was it. So I don't know if you experienced this as well, Zach. When I first started out, right, going back to the whole Benjamin stuff, right, he talks about cold calling and like the sales meetings, right? So there's a different structure to each one. A lot of it's the same, but the structure, different structure. And I thought to myself, right, this will be a really good opportunity, first and foremost, to focus on cold calling and try and tackle this from a different approach, right? And I thought going into that, the fact that I didn't have any income and like now I'm self-employed, everything's on me, there's no salary coming in, no nothing to support me, everything's on my own shoulders. I thought that would be enough motivation for me to absolutely hammer the phones, and it wasn't. And when I first started out, I had days where I was like, I can't be asked to do this, I'll do it tomorrow. Like to your point there, Jack, I had moments where I started cold calling and something didn't go to plan, and I thought, right, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll focus on this. So my activity fluctuated, and it took me a couple of weeks before I was like, right, I've got to sort this out because I need to get clients, right? I need to get food on the table. And basically I started like looking at all of this knowledge from all these different areas on, like obviously mindset from Benjamin, building good habits, like James Clear's book on Atomic Habits was really good. And just all these little bits of information that I knew about but I didn't implement. So all the stuff around setting like KPIs and targets, knowing your math of prospecting, that's a big one, because if I know that, I don't know, like I've got 300 prospects to call, just me going one by one and calling through them with no end objective other than to get 300 call dials is really fucking boring, right? And it's not very motivating, and I did quit. So I was like, I've got to be smart about this and start measuring conversations. So I set myself a daily target of conversations, and I worked it back from how many meetings do I need to get, how many conversations do I need to get a meeting, and when do I want to get those meetings by? And then I'd set out those conversations. That was a big one, because breaking it down and having that daily target really focused me. So those moments where I was like, I can't be asked to do this, it's like, just do the conversations. You've got two more left, just do it. And you'll find yourself, you will do it if you push yourself. And the other one was building good habits, right? So I never used to do this when I was employed. Like prospecting was an afterthought. It's like, if I've got some spare time, I'll do some prospecting. Whereas I flipped it on its head. It's like, right, just do the prospecting first thing, get it out the way, and start building structure and habits around your prospecting, right? So listening back to calls. I started journaling as well, so I could get instant kind of feedback when I was doing things well, from myself obviously, but also what do I need to do differently, where do I need to improve. And I'd look at that the next day and be like, right, I need to focus on that, and just constantly build day by day. And then just being more disciplined as well, right? In general, like, started going to the gym more, like taking breaks, but like building in regular habits so that my day had the same structure every single day. It's got a lot easier. So yeah, those are a few things. There's a little bit more to it, but yeah, those were the few of the big ones.
No, I totally.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I would. Even when people start with us, obviously we've hired people, and when Jack came on board as well, taking away things like call time and those sort of metrics, because they're kind of crap and nonsense. I'd have to tell you that. I'm sure you would echo that. But measuring how many decision makers have I spoke to, how many decision makers do I need to speak to get a meeting, and then working backwards from that, so you know. Know, like for our business, it might be like you speak to 10, you've got to book two meetings. If you book two meetings a day, that's 40 a month. You can't work with 40 people. So, you know, once you've done that, and then, yeah, when I, same as you, a lot of the stuff you say is like you're echoing the same sentiment. But yeah, I did that same model and then was inconsistent at booking two people a day. And then the problem was that it was just overbooked. And then Jack came in, same model, overbooked, hire someone else. And that's kind of the way we've grown it. And yeah, I agree with you as well. It's almost like I was talking to someone the other day about, you've almost got to have quite a boring day from the outside if someone was looking in. You know, like you said, I go to the gym at a certain time of day. I like spend time with my children at a certain time of day. There's like a walk with my dog at a certain time. Like the day is actually quite predictable. And because of that, you know that realistically your job's probably going to be done every day by X time, unless you kind of broke those habits. And you kind of manage that state, don't you? Salespeople, like I know when I was employed, it was like up and down depending on if I was getting on with my boss at the minute, if the date was good, if I was hating myself that day and felt like I'd done something wrong. So
it is, but it's just being a lot more rewarding.
Predictable and boring is
massive. And it's a lot less stressful for a start. You know exactly what to expect every day. Once you get into the routine of it, it becomes a lot easier. Cold calling becomes a lot easier. And it's a lot more rewarding. I remember when I had the bad weeks and the bad months earlier on, people used to always ask me, how's the business going? And because I had that structure in place, things like might not have been going that well on the outside, or like meetings not being set or having issues and all this kind of stuff. But you always have that reflection of, well, I'm a lot better than I was yesterday, and I've done what I needed to do. Followed the process to kind of encourage all of those good habits, and it's rewarding ticking them off every day, knowing, right, I've done it, or just go again tomorrow. And there's always something to focus on, right? Whether it's mainly the cold calling, if there's something that you need to work on, or just getting that little bit better every single day. And just that's what motivated me and kept me coming back in the next day, right? Even though the day is fairly boring.
Yeah, and we hear from SDRs as well, and I think I know companies that their SDRs, that their targets are too low, or they just don't want to get on the phone because they've either not been trained, they don't feel confident. Like, let's face it, we know how hard it is hitting the phones day in, day out. But people say things like, well, I don't want to call people on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock and all these different things. Like, what are your thoughts on the rules of like cold calling? Because I know that you are very eat the frog, get it done. Do you think there are any rules? We shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be breaking that rule.
Nah, there are no rules, are there really? Just style. Just like we said, like have that structure and know what you're trying to do and what you need to do and just go and do it. And obviously, like, the conversation side of things is so important because you can control that, right? So if you know you can get a meeting every 8 or 10 conversations, and you know you've got a target of 8 meetings a month, that's like 20 conversations a week, right? It's fucking nothing. But obviously, a lot of SDRs don't break that down. They don't know that. And there's a lot of pressure on them to deliver, right? But in terms of, like, time of day calling, I don't know. Friday afternoons has sometimes been good. It was really good in lockdown because no one was out with clients and all that kind of stuff. It's changed a little bit. But other than that, like, who cares? Just get it done. It might take 100 dials. It might take 80 dials to hit your conversation target, but just do it.
Yeah, I've booked meetings with people on holiday.
Oh, really?
I booked meetings with a bloke at 6 a.m. I got Washington confused. Oh, so I thought it was Washington, D.C. Yeah, but 6 a.m. in the morning. Obviously, he was pissed off. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, but they went for it. I was just like... Because it's at those things. If you just remain consistent and you do the... I think too many people kind of hype themselves up about the end result and it's this thing for life anyway. But it's just do the process. Get the job done in the same way that you just... I get up and I go for a run. I don't need to enjoy it. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But I bet with the Washington, the US one, I bet you just asked him a question, right? At some point, you just asked him a question. He's probably a bit resistant at first, right? But as soon as you get prospects talking about themselves, they forget the whole context of how you got there in the first place, right? Whether you got through a gatekeeper and they didn't know you were a sales call, or like you said, if they're on holiday, or if you woke them up at 6 in the morning, there might be some resistance, but you can always just say, look, before you go, can I ask a question? Ask them the question, they get talking, and then they won't shut up if it's relevant for them, right? So it doesn't really matter, exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's just people lose the context of the sales call as soon as you get them talking about themselves.
Sure, and I think we as salespeople, especially people that are new to it, think so much about, like, oh, well, I can't call that bloke. He said he didn't want to take a sales call last week. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, but maybe you caught him on the day where he just caught his wife shagging the postman or whatever, do you know what I mean? There's all these different things. Stop beating yourself up and stop thinking that people give... And it's advice for life. Stop thinking that people are thinking about you, because the truth of the matter is they're probably just thinking about themselves and that you apply that in sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Even after the cold call, no matter how well that cold call's gone, as soon as they put the phone down, they probably don't spend a second thinking about it, or you. Do you know what I mean? Like, any context. Maybe if you piss someone off, they're probably a little bit irate for 10, 15 seconds, but especially if you're calling... if you're calling C-level or directors, MDs, like, they're busy people. They've got shit to do. As soon as that phone call ends, they'll be back on it and, yeah, you'll be an afterthought.
Absolutely. So what would be, for someone, you've been there and you've seen it and you've grown to this, I'm not going to call you a LinkedIn guru because it might make you a bit sick, but you've got a great LinkedIn presence and your videos, I love them. That duck noise where you're cutting out the name goes right through me, but I love your videos. What would be like the one bit of advice that you would say to somebody up and coming that might think, you know what, screw it, if Callum can do it, I might go out on my own as well?
Ooh, what a question. One bit of advice. I mean, get good at it. If you're good, here's the thing, like, we were talking about this, Zach and I, just before we came on. If you're good at it, if you're sat there and you're good at cold calling, you consistently get results, you do all the things that we talked about, you don't do it with any pressure, and you're thinking about doing it, then just go and do it, because there's not many people out there like us doing this. There are obviously companies, but on the self-employed front, right, like depending on how much work you want to do for each client, like you could probably maximum do 3, maybe 4 clients, but it's a lot of work managing them and managing everything that comes alongside it if you're self-employed. But if you're good at it, like you could probably, you're going to get paid more by doing it yourself. Have all the freedom to work with who you want and charge what you want and all that kind of stuff. And there's what, like 50 million companies, registered businesses in the UK, something like that. I know a lot of them are self-employed people like me, but they need help getting prospects, right? And a lot of them have got money. So it's a massive space out here and there's not that many people in that space. So yeah, there's a market for us. There's market for more.
Exactly.
And
so if, and three, if you're saying 3 in 50 million, doesn't sound hard.
Exactly,
does it?
Exactly that. There's so many companies out there that need help with finding new business. Who doesn't want more clients? Yeah, I know. I thought that.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people can't be asked. I'm sure you speak to people that say, yeah, I couldn't be busier and. Yeah, exactly. So what would you say, or when someone reaches out to you, like a potential client, a prospect reaches out to you, what are some of the red flags of like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare, or actually you
do this job yourself, titles,
the things
one
that you look out for to quickly kind of disqualify?
Not often. Like from time to time I get people that are like at manager level, and they might even mention that they need to still get this signed off by their boss. That's always a red flag. And the types of the words that they use, when there's a lot of uncertainty, and yeah, like using words like I think and maybe and all these sorts of things, they're red flags. But also the biggest one I think is when people ask questions out the gate on the very specifics, like how much do you cost? How does it work? All these sorts of things. Because I always think these guys probably don't have that big problems in their world, right? It's maybe just a nice to have. I've had people, like when I first started out, I still, not so much now, I would meet with anyone because I just wanted the practice in the sales meeting environment, right? And obviously, like being fairly new to this, this is my first year, I wanted to speak to as many people as I could, learn about the kind of problems in their world, and obviously learn the signs of the people that had genuine interest and those that didn't. And yeah, you can always tell from the questions that they ask out the gate whether there's genuine interest or not. So those would be the three.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn Ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Yeah. And what about we find that it's the hardest thing to teach is probably something you can't teach, which is tonality. So actually how you know, you see it on LinkedIn, don't you, like, here's this great pattern interrupt, but they probably all work if you say them the right way with enough kind of conviction.
That's a good question. So a couple of moments in the last few months stand out in that. I was on another podcast the other day and he played a video of one of my LinkedIn cold call videos. I think it was from around February. And I listen back to my calls now. I obviously create videos still, so I hear my own voice. And we're talking a difference of 4 months, 5 months. And I could just hear, I don't know what it is. I think it's just more, less apprehension in the voice, less nerves. Although I never really used to get nerves after the first call. Those would go. So I don't think it was that, but I think it's just a level of maybe certainty, but also just the more you do it, the less you give a shit, right? And I think that carries in your voice. So I think that's the main one. And there was another moment, I can't remember it now. Similar thing, I posted something on LinkedIn, that was it. And I could hear in my voice there was a lot of apprehension and uncertainty, the same thing. And I posted something on there about, I think there was a lot of reason behind why the call went so bad. And everyone commented saying, I don't know what you mean, you sound fine. But I could just tell myself, because I listen back to my calls so much and familiar with my own voice. And I was like, yeah, you can't, unless you know it yourself, you can't really tell the differences, right? I don't know if we played a video from now versus 8 months ago, probably be quite a bit of difference, but maybe 3-4 months ago, you might not be able to detect it, but I probably would.
Hmm. Very interesting. And obviously you've grown a great brand on LinkedIn, sharing your videos. I know I was working in a co-working space doing my standard pattern interrupt. And a girl came up to me and went, oh, you're using Callum Beecroft stuff. Yeah. And I was like, amazing. You fucking bastard. I wasn't
that.
So sad. But you've grown a brilliant brand on LinkedIn. And I imagine that brings in an influx of clients and people making inquiries. So what is next for you? I want to talk about the new project coming up because that looks quite exciting.
Yeah, so I literally announced on Wednesday, I don't know, a couple of days ago. I've basically been working on this for 3 months now. And it's one of those subscription publication things where kind of like a newsletter, but along with a newsletter, it's like a website, right? So all of the content that I put out will basically be housed and archived in this site. I was telling Zach earlier on, I basically producing all this content on LinkedIn for free, and obviously a lot of it gets, mainly the videos get a lot of engagement, and I'm sat on all of these call recordings from the last year, so fuck knows how many's in there, and I just thought to myself, they're just sitting there doing nothing, so why don't I do something with them? And then I thought, I've made a lot of mistakes in the past year, and there's a lot of salespeople that follow me. So I was like, why don't I just produce all this content and try and help some salespeople along the way, right? So primarily, it's going to be me analysing my own cold calls. So I'll tell people what I think went wrong, why it went wrong, and what I would have done differently. That'll be the main part of the content, and then alongside that, just videos, articles, tips and stuff, all on cold calling, to try and help some salespeople who are struggling with it, right? So we know there's a lot of them out there. I'm launching that on the 1st of August, so I think it's a week Monday. It'll be a newsletter kind of thing. I'll send out 2 bits of content, one every Tuesday, one every Thursday. One of them will be a cold call recording. The other one will be some of the other content I just mentioned. If anyone's interested, just go to my website, thephonejacker.co.uk, and there's at the top, the hang up. Click on that. There's a little bit of content in there that explains more about it and how you can get involved. And then subscribe. And hopefully,
amazing. Sounds Sounds very exciting. And I guess if you were to like fast forward 5 years, 10 years into the future, I know it's very hard because some days you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. But with this going and this whole like the coaching side of things, do you feel like you'd want to go down the Benjamin Dennehy route? Because look, let's face it, he's not going to be around forever, is he? He'll be flying high in the sky. And I don't mean he's going to die. I mean he's going to become a pilot. But it's one of those things. Would you want to go down that route? Any other angles you'd want to go down?
Yeah, potentially. I was chatting to him a few months back and he told me he was going to retire. I think it's end of 2024, right? So, yeah, when he retires, I'm basically going to take his UK's most hated sales trainer and he's going to pass on the baton. We were joking about it. But potentially, yeah. I don't want to cold call forever, right? So... it's definitely something that I'm thinking about, but it's such a difficult one, right? Because for you guys, I know, Jack, you joined in like January, right? So it's been 6 months for you. Like so much has happened, like even for you guys, right? Your growth's been phenomenal. And so much has happened in such a short space of time. You're like, fuck, what? Where's it all gone? What's happened to this time, right? Achieved so much, and then you look forward, you're like, right, I've got a long fucking way to go, right? And it's hard to picture yourself in 5-10 years what that would look like, but ultimately the goal is to get to some form of retirement, right? And what I mean by that is the definition of like where I don't have to work anymore, where I'm financially free. I probably would work because I don't know what else I'd do. But just having that freedom, that's got to be the end goal, the ultimate freedom, right? To choose when you work and how you work and not have to worry about money. How I get there, I don't know. Like the training side of things, definitely one element of it for sure. But we'll see. We'll see.
Very exciting. So you already mentioned your website there, www.thephonejacker.co.uk. If people do want to find you, I know you're probably not taking on new clients at the moment, but if they want to get in touch and inquire anyway or sign up, where else can they get you?
Yeah, LinkedIn's the best place. Although on LinkedIn, I send you to my website. So LinkedIn, obviously Callum Beecroft, the phone jacker. Some more information there. My website, email address is on both, callum@thephonejacker.co.uk. I'm alongside the hang up, I'm going to be putting some content out there on YouTube as well. So I've got a YouTube channel, there's nothing there right now. But yeah, I obviously want to grow the hang up, so I'll be putting some content out there, which will be free, obviously. So check that out. But that's about it, I think. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to catch up with you because I know we're on very similar journeys, so it's always good to touch base and see where you're up to.
No, I appreciate you inviting me on. And yeah, I think it's the first time I spoke to both of you, right? But I was saying to Zach, like, I think Zach started this maybe a month, 2 months before me. But like, to see it, it's funny, like, seeing how both of us have gone on different paths. Like, you guys have got 12 people, is it now? It's just me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been fascinating to watch you guys and like fucking impressive, to be honest, because I can't be asked to hire people and have that responsibility and everything else that comes with it, right? So yeah, to see you guys doing it is really impressive. So yeah, well done.
I appreciate that.
The real test there is
we
continue on these paths to do like a time lapse of how we've aged.
Well, the good thing for you, right, is the more people you hire, the less work you've got to do, right? In theory. Whereas I've got...
In theory.
Yeah.
The work changes. The work changes. I think we might have naively thought that.
Yeah, admin, by the sounds of things.
You get work in an area that perhaps you're less prepared for.
Nice.
Yeah, but then I've brought someone in that's started in August, helped with that, like an operations director starting. But I mean more, the way you think about it, you would expect someone else to think about it, but they don't, because it's not the same. It doesn't mean as much. So it's how do you navigate those things? And these are all, you know, me and Jack are big on like going out and a lot of self-learning and things like that. So it's like, what can I read and teach myself to help bridge that gap?
Yeah.
So there's been hours and hours of learning that's gone in.
Yeah, no, I did. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because, yeah, even for me, like, all this stuff with the hang-up and shit, like, I've now got to start thinking about SEO and growing that and more of the marketing side, YouTube, understanding algorithms, the SEO on that as well. Yeah, all these new things to learn. So, yeah, I can understand that for sure.
Mm.
Well, Callum, we work with some great clients. I'll book you a few meetings and it'll be absolute. You'll help me get my commission at the end of the month.
Yeah, just call me up.
Exactly, I will do. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Callum.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thanks, Callum.
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. When it comes to meeting the world's energy needs, more is better. What we mean is our world needs a wide range of energy sources to meet our increasing needs. Just wind or solar won't get us there, as the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. With our growing population and the increasing use of energy-demanding technologies like AI, reliability is key. And the reliability of natural gas is unmatched by wind and solar. That doesn't mean we all can't work together, but natural gas is vital to ensuring we meet our energy needs. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit energytransfer.com.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.